You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
Packers Talk.
We may not know who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers come week one, but after day two of the 2021 NFL Draft on Friday, we know they'll have a couple of extra players at their disposal. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempesis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here with my recap of day two of the 2021 NFL Draft for our beloved Green Bay Packers. Luckily, thankfully, a much quieter day for the Packers on Friday after Thursday's news. Well, you know. Look, I really want to make this as Aaron Rodgers free as possible tonight if I can. I talked a shitload about all of that last night, and I'm sure I will be talking about him a lot more as this offseason goes on, whether I want to or not. So for one night, I want to keep this as Rodgers free as possible. I have a feeling you all will appreciate that. Packers made two more selections tonight, day two of the draft, as GM Brian Gutekunst continued working to fill the obvious holes on the roster. Day two is my favorite day of the draft in this now three-day format. I still miss the Saturday-Sunday format, if I'm being honest, but day two is my favorite, right? Day one is the flash, the sizzle, the crazy overreactions. Day three is the grind. It's like for the hardcores only, which I'm proud to say I am a hardcore. Day two is that sweet spot right in the middle. There's just enough flash, just enough sizzle, but just enough for the hardcores. It's just a perfect mix, you know? Love it. Tonight, as mentioned in the opening, Gutekunst focused on the offensive side of the ball after going defense in round one with the selection of Georgia cornerback Eric Stokes. More on the two picks in a minute, of course. Before we jump into the fun, I have to do the same shameless, can't even say it right, the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love or at the very least tolerate. I got to do it up front, because if you listened to the show last night, I went scriptless, and I basically forgot to do the damn thing until the very end of the show. And look, Allen CD, Jersey Allen CD, they're going to be mad at me if I do that again. I get docked pay for it. I'm kidding. I don't get paid anything for this. Who would pay me for this? Can you imagine? Twitter, LempsMKE, at It's Just Chris Now. My draft weekend tradition of losing followers continues. It's weird. It's like people follow me on Twitter and they know I'm not a rubber stamper. Like, look, there's plenty of rubber stampers on Packers Twitter who just like everything they do, love everything. Everything they do is great. They're going to win every game 70-0. You know, they're going to win the Super Bowl by 400 points. Like, look, you know who those people are. If you followed me for any length of time, you know I am not one of those people. Yet every year at draft weekend, I just lose followers hand over fist. It's like they're diving overboard off a sinking ship or something. Like, now you realize I'm not, now you realize I'm going to tell you what I think, whether I like something or not. It's like, were you guys paying attention the rest of the year? Were you paying attention during the season? Always, it's always confounding to me. It just puzzles me. But it happens every year, so I'm used to it. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. The email, oldbagofdonuts, olbagofdonuts @gmail.com. Send me a line. What are you thinking about the draft? What do you think of all this Rodgers madness? Let me know. I'd love to hear from you guys and gals. For anyone listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating, 5 stars. We like those the most. Comment if it's positive. That'd be nice. Spotify, you can find us by searching for Packers Talk. Look for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue that sits outside Lambeau, and we're on iHeartRadio, so look for us on that app as well. Okay, now that we've got that out the way, let's go, let's dive right in, let's talk about these two offensive picks. Much different vibe tonight If you remember day two last year, Gutekunst went offense with both picks, selecting A.J. Dillon and Josiah DeGuara. And those two picks, coupled with the Jordan Love pick the night before, basically had Packers Twitter on fire. Packers Twitter basically rivaled the Peshtigo fire after night two of the draft last year. Thankfully, much calmer after night two this year, as again, Gutekunst continues working to fill holes. Hey, what a novel concept. Draft to fill holes. Imagine if he had done that last year. Anyways, I digress. With the first selection of the night, in the second round, pick 62, the Packers selected Ohio State center Josh Myers. I guess the Packers figured they lost one OSU center when Corey Linsley left to LA in free agency, so what the hell. Worked out pretty great with Linsley. Let's just get another OSU center. Which I guess, you know, that's true. It did work out great with Linsley, so why not? The first thing to me that stands out about Myers is his size and just how he looks on film, right? 6'5", right? Straight up, just his height, 6'5". That's fairly tall for a center, even in the NFL. 310 pounds. So Linsley, by comparison, 6'3", 300, or just a shade over 300. So he's, I would say, significantly bigger than Linsley. I mean, dude just looks bigger and bulkier than your average center, regardless of who you're comparing him to. At least I think. Boxy frame, that word comes up over and over when you study up on Myers, then when you watch him, it jumps out at you. Boxy, boxy, boxy. Bulky, square, you could even say. That's not necessarily a bad thing. That's just describing, again, how I feel like he looks on film. Now, I don't want to make this all about Linsley because Myers is his own man, his own player. But there are some similarities between the two. Both are really smart guys, really smart players. Both guys have a really high football IQ. Myers excels at the reach blocks, the combo blocks, both things Linsley was extraordinary at executing for the Packers. So those aspects of Myers' game, they would seem to make him well-suited to be a Packer, for sure. He's also very versatile, something the Packers, of course, love in their offensive linemen. It's like a must to be a Packers offensive lineman at this point. As Myers started his time in Columbus as a guard before moving to center. So he's coming in as a center, but, you know, I'll be honest, it's not impossible for me anyways to imagine him moving to one of the guard spots if needed for whatever reason. Maybe not like full-time, but I could maybe even see that happening in a pinch because, again, he does have that versatility, which is a plus. Good strength, although maybe not quite as strong as Linsley. Linsley, you know, I feel like this never got talked about much with him, but he was strong as a fucking bull, man. I mean, even coming into Green Bay, he literally had set weight room records at Ohio State. I remember that being one of the first things I'd read about him after they picked him way back when. And it always showed up, you know, despite his build, which was not huge. Linsley, I mean, he was strong. Don't think Myers is quite on that level, but definitely strong enough. I don't have any concerns there on that. And I think if he's asked to operate in short areas, you know, the old playing in a phone booth bit, I think his quickness is good enough, so that's a plus. Now, having said that, I have to say there are some definite concerns that I have with Myers. First of all, I feel like he was drafted. I mean, I think, well, I'll get that in a minute. What happens when Myers has to leave the phone booth area? I don't think he's a particularly great athlete. I'm not sure he's the kind of guy who can get out in space and excel. Something I thought Linsley really could do. Again, I don't want to constantly compare the two, but, you know, I'm not sure he can get out in space and excel. So that, I do think that limits his ceiling. It kind of limits what you can do with him a little bit. He's not very flexible. He's not very bendy. You know, you read a lot of he plays too high, and then when you watch him, you can see why that gets said. Now, some of that, I think, is just because he's bigger than your average center. But still, that's going to be an issue in the NFL if it's not worked on. His hands come up quite a bit. He's got to get more consistent with his hands, quicker with his hands. Hell, he may have to just get a little quicker overall as far as his awareness of things. You know, this ain't the Big Ten anymore, you know what I'm saying? Now, still, there are enough positives in Myers' makeup and in his game to make me think he could start, if not right away, then fairly quickly. And if he starts, I think as of now, because the Packers haven't addressed the tackle spot in this draft. More on that as we move on here tonight. But as of right now, it looks like, because, you know, Bakhtiari's still out, and I don't know when he'll be back. Week one, I think it's going to be Billy Turner. If we're going from left to right, I think it'll be Billy Turner at left tackle, Jenkins at left guard. I know some people have talked about moving Jenkins around. I still think Jenkins, he dominates at left guard. Now, he could dominate anywhere. He's just a fucking freak. But his main, that's where he is the most dominant, is left guard. So I would just leave him there. I wouldn't move him to left tackle and have Turner, you know, go over to the right tackle spot. No, I would leave Jenkins at left guard. I'd go Turner, Jenkins, Myers at center, Lucas Patrick or Simon, I can't think of the kid's name. They took, Stepaniak. So either it's Lucas Patrick or Simon Stepaniak at right guard, and then I think Runyon's the right tackle right now. Yeah, as of right now, if they were to line up right now, which of course they don't play on May 1st, so what are you talking about, Chris? But yeah, that's, I think it would go Turner, Jenkins, Myers, Patrick or Stepaniak, and then Runyon. And then when Bakhtiari comes back, it's Bakhtiari at left tackle, Jenkins at left guard, let's say Myers at center, probably Billy Turner, or maybe Runyon at right guard, and then Turner moves out to right tackle. That sounds about right to me. But of course, that's all subject to change. And then I think after some time working, so I do think there's a pretty good chance he could start right away. And then after some time working with Green Bay's excellent offensive line coach, Adam Stenovich, Myers definitely could become a very solid NFL center. Great, right? So here's the problem with that. The consensus best center in this draft was still on the board. That's my biggest problem with this pick. I'm talking, of course, about OU's Creed Humphrey. Oklahoma, one of my top five guys for the Packers in this draft. A guy I think is a future multi-year all-pro player. A guy I think is going to excel in every area as a pro. Quick aside, goddamn the Chicago Bears for trading up in round two and taking Tevin Jenkins. I love behind Rashad Bateman, Tevin Jenkins was my second favorite player in this draft for the Packers. Not only do they not get him when they could have, hands up in Chicago. That still is burning my ass so bad I can't even tell you. Anyways, you know, frankly, I'll say I was stunned Humphrey was still there at 62. And when Green Bay turned in its pick with lightning speed, that pick came in fast. I mean, lightning fast. I really was thinking Humphrey might be the choice. I was like, shit, they see what I see. They're going to take Humphrey. So when it was a center, but not him, you know, a guy I frankly don't think is as good as Humphrey, I was really disappointed. I still am. Even more so when Humphrey went to Kansas City with the very next pick. Oh, the very next pick. And look, I get it. Myers played in his own scheme. That fits Green Bay. Is Humphrey as pure a fit? Got a lot of that on Twitter. Here's my thing. With a guy as good as Humphrey, a guy I think can do it all, and can excels at all, and will in the pros, I don't really care about fit coming in. A guy like Humphrey, I think, is so good, he'd figure out how to fit in Green Bay's scheme, and then from there, his talent would take care of the rest. So all that scheme fit stuff, I think that gets overdone. You know, you take the best player and you know, figure out how he fits and maybe how you maybe mold it to what he does. But I just, if you're comparing two players, and that's the thing with Myers, I didn't have Myers as a second round player. I don't even think I talked about him on the preview because I think I had him as more of like a fourth round guy. So when he went in two, I was surprised. I'll say that to the Packers. But I mean, if you're comparing two guys, you just take the more talented one. That's what I think anyway. That's just me. So yeah, I don't think Myers is a bad player. I want to stress that. I don't think he's a bad player. And look, maybe you just say, well, we don't compare him to Humphrey. If he's good on his own terms, then the pick was a success. I can understand that line of thinking, for sure, and I respect it. So I don't think he's a bad player, but it's like with Eric Stokes last night. I just felt like there were better options available. It's not that I dislike the player. It's just I like other players more, you know? I will say for those of us who care about interior offensive line play, which not many, Myers and Humphrey will have their careers linked, for sure. Oh, yeah, I know that. And I hope Gutekunst was right about this one, but I kind of fear he wasn't. I kind of fear he isn't right about it. I do, however, feel like it was very right to do what he did with Green Bay's second and final pick of the night. We call that a transition, kids. As he traded up 7 spots with the Tennessee Titans to select Clemson wide receiver Amari Rodgers with the 85th pick in the draft in the 3rd round. Hey, a wide receiver to the Packers. The Packers drafted a wide receiver. Holla freaking Luya. The Packers surrendering pick 92 and one of their 2 4th-round picks, number 135 tomorrow. The first of their two 4th-rounders in the trade with the Titans. So that pick they gave to Tennessee is their own 4. The one they have left now is a compensatory 4, which is, I think, pick 142. If I'm not 142 or 144. So let's just get the jokes out of the way right now. Yeah, no matter what happens, the Packers will still have an A. Rodgers on the roster. Do we just call him A. Rodg? If Rodgers stays, we have the Rodgers to Rodgers connection. Shades of Rodgers to A. Rodg to Rich Rodg. Although this time we'll have A. Rodg to A. Rodg. Any other jokes you want to make? Let's get them out of the way now. Any other bad puns? Let's get it out of the way now. Okay, done. Man, what a clutch fucking move from Gutekunst with this one. I gotta say, big time love for what Gutekunst did with this pick and moving up to get this player. The receiver class was really dwindling at that point in the night. And after UNC's Yami Brown went to Washington at 82, there really was only, in my mind, one potential difference maker left at the position. That was Rodgers. Now, I know a couple of guys, Nico Collins from Michigan and Anthony Schwartz from Auburn, went right after Rodgers was picked by the Pack. But to me, I feel like now those were real reach picks by Houston and Cleveland, for sure. The drop-off from the group I had Rodgers in, that tier to the tier those two guys are in, was steep, to say the least. Again, only at least to me. You know, and seeing as though Collins went 89th and Schwartz went 91st, I mean, there was simply no way Rodgers was going to make it to Green Bay at 92. That just was not going to happen. So Goot did what he had to do. He stepped up, he made the move up, and got a guy I think will be a real difference maker for the Packers offense. I'll be honest. I think, my voice is great. It's been a long day. I think Gutekunst got a little greedy. I think they wanted to take Bateman. You'll never change my mind that they didn't want to take him. And I honestly think he believed that Bateman was going to fall to him. And he got left holding the bag, didn't he? And I think when that opportunity, you know, when he got in a similar situation, because Bateman was kind of the end, he was the last guy in that top tier of receivers in this draft. I think he got in that position again tonight and said, Rodgers is the last guy in this tier. I'm not getting left holding my ass. Like, I'm taking him. I'm going to go get this guy. I'm doing it. So I appreciate Brian Gutekunst for doing that. Thank you. You know, it's funny, too. I don't know if people know this. Rodgers has kind of been predicting that he was going to end up in Green Bay, right? So he was at the 2021 House of Athletes Scouting Combine Showcase back in early March, and he's being interviewed by Brandon Marshall, the former, you know, Pro Bowl wide receiver. And Marshall puts him on the spot at the end of it. I don't know if everybody's seen this, but check this out if you haven't online. Probably just Google Amari Rodgers, Brandon Marshall interview. He's telling him, like, he goes, I don't put you on the spot. What's the dream scenario for you in this draft in terms of being where you get picked and who you go to? And he said, 2nd round, Green Bay Packers. That's pretty close. It's pretty close. 3rd round, Green Bay Packers. But, you know, he called the shot and it worked. Worked out. So first, let's do the height, weight, statistical stuff. 5'10", 209 pounds. Rodgers was more of a reserve guy for the always loaded Clemson Tigers offense until last season, his senior year, when he finally got a shot at real consistent playing time. And man, did this kid show out in 12 games, 77 grabs for 1,020 yards and 7 touchdowns as he basically became like Trevor Lawrence's favorite target. So you got to love that. Rodgers is an interesting guy to watch. Very interesting guy to watch. He's more, and I talked about this on the draft preview, he's more of a Weapon X type guy to me than a pure receiver or a receiver in the classic sense anyways. Now, I never did mention Rodgers in the preview. I don't know how I left him out. But I talked about guys like Kadarius Toney from Florida and Elijah Moore from Ole Miss as this type of player. Rodgers is definitely that type of guy also. Now, by Weapon X, if you didn't get a chance to listen to the preview, damn you. By Weapon X type guys, I mean, you've got to move them around. You got to work them out of the slot, get them out in space, get them the ball in a variety of ways, bubble screens, quick passes off the line, that sort of thing, you know? Think about how, like, San Francisco uses Deebo Samuel. You know, guys like that need a creative offensive coaching staff to thrive. And well, thankfully for the Packers, they have just that. So that's great. Rodgers, I mean, this kid is a yak monster. Good hands, strong hands, tough, not at all afraid of contact. In fact, he'll go looking for contact. He's got almost, to me, a running back type build in a sense. And he plays with a running back type mentality, which I freaking love. And I think you can see some Randall Cobb in his game, too, for sure. That's definitely there if you watch him. Like, imagine Frankensteining parts of, like, Deebo, Cobb, and a running back, and that's Rodgers. And how can that not excite you, right? Like, holy shit. As my old Bag of Donuts podcast co-host Adam Summers texted me tonight, bestest friend in the world, the Packers don't have anyone like Rodgers on the roster right now, so it's really exciting to imagine what extra dimensions his presence is going to add. You know, imagine what this guy could do when teams are focusing on Devontae and Jonesy and Tonyan. This kid's going to sneak up on you too. He's going to bite you in the ass. Look out. Whew, love it. So, you know, I'll tell you, whoever the Packers quarterback is next year and into the future, and I don't know, they are going to love having this guy to throw to. Love it. I think he's going to be a big-time fan favorite very quickly, too. I'll say that. So those are my thoughts. Now, I put out the call for people to submit questions on Twitter or email or whatever, and I got a couple. It's late on Friday, so not as many as last night. Again, night one has the flash and the sizzle, and then you had all the Rodgers shit yesterday, too. So not as many questions tonight, but there's a couple good ones here, so let's get to them. Or comments, I should say. First one is, this is from Twitter, Justin Cornwell, at Justin A. Cornwell, friend of the show, longtime friend of the show, one of the old Podbean hardcores, has been listening since day one. I always appreciate that. Thank you, Justin. He says, it feels like it's been a while since the team drafted immediate needs with their first three picks. Feels like picks that could help the team contend for the Super Bowl again this year, except ... you know. Yes, Justin, I do know. I think we all know. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it does feel like it's been a minute since they've actively attacked needs in the draft. Which, if I can just say aside quick, so much of this best player available versus draft for need, it's a big conversation this time of year in particular, of course. I am always, my philosophy on that has always been, when you're a team in the spot the Packers are in right now, I think you're drafting for need. Like, if you're taking over a team that sucks, like when Ted came in back in 05, I think it's okay then to draft best player available because you don't know what your identity is. You don't know what you're going to be. You're bad. So let's just get the best players we can and then figure out our, you know, stack them wherever they, you know, place them wherever they need to be placed, and however our talent stacks up, then from there we determine which type of what kind of team we're going to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, if the best player available just is defense, and then we just draft that. And, oh, well, okay, we're a defensive team now. And that's our identity. And then from there you go, once you've established who you are, and once you become a good team, I do think then you draft for need, yes. I think that's, the drafting for need thing gets knocked a lot, and I don't understand why. You know, a team that's in the spot the Packers are in right now, and let's take the Rodgers thing out of it for a minute, you're drafting for need, yes. Yes, it's important to draft. Imagine if Gutekunst had done that last year. Shit, they might all be polishing rings right now, you know? So, I just want to go down that side street real quick. And yes, I agree. It feels like it's been a while since they've done that, and it's, you know, it's been nice. Even if, like, I was underwhelmed and am by the Stokes pick, and I am by the Myers pick. They're at least guys who fill needs, you know? So even if I don't like them, or I don't like him as much as I may have liked others. Well, if they work out, then that's great. It filled a need. So that's awesome. And yeah, if you know who decides to come back, which at this point seems impossible to me, I don't think he's ever going to come back to Green Bay. But if Rodgers, you know, comes back, yeah, you would think these guys would all be important pieces. And well, I don't know about Stokes, because I still think Stokes is probably a guy who may have to kind of redshirt a little bit, at least for like the first half of the season, but maybe the whole year. But certainly the picks tonight, Myers and Rodgers, both seem like guys who could be immediate contributors and help this get this team to a Super Bowl. Yeah, I agree with you on that, Justin, for sure. And then I love Adam's comment. I second Justin. Also love the Amari Rodgers pick. Rubber stamp that one. Adam's having fun with me on Twitter saying, I'm not a rubber stamper. I'm not, damn it. I'm not just going to love it. There's plenty of people. There's enough people on Twitter who do. You all know who they are. Go follow them. For Christ's sakes. And then I got an email, or a two-part email. Pull this up here. From Kyle Terpenning, who I believe still refuses to get Twitter. Haven't heard from Kyle in a minute. Okay. I'll read both parts. This is the first one. I'm sending this after only the first of our picks tonight. It does sound like Rodgers can be won back over pending what the front office does. This pick of center Josh Myers is a good pick. I'm sure you've already given us your opinion on the show, though. It might be what Rodgers wants to see. Not a flashy receiver, but a good center to help protect him. So far, I'm not disappointed in who we've drafted. In terms of winning now, it's been far better than last year. Then he sends a second email. Now with the Amari pick, where does that leave us for the draft? How many high-level talent can be found to shore up the D-line and OT spots? Are our picks tonight enough to smooth relations with Rodgers even a little? And if the worst happens and Rodgers retires, what is your prediction of the season with Love under center? There's a lot. Kyle always gives me a lot to unpack, which I appreciate. All right, let's go. Let's take these in order now. Where does that leave the Packers for the draft? Well, they have taken care of the cornerback need. They have taken care of the center need, which I had as I talked on the preview about right tackle, wide receiver, D-line, and corner. But I had center as basically like that was a spot I talked about too at length. Has like kind of basically their fifth big need. That's, you know, one of the five spots they needed to address. So corner, center, and wide receiver have all been taken care of. So yeah, I would think D-line and tackle would probably be the next two spots that he's going to want to check off. If he's just going down the list, those are the two most obvious spots. Yeah. I think D-line is probably the most important spot left to address. They've got to get Kenny Clark some help. Again, it cannot be Kenny and the Clarkettes up front on defense. He is so good. And I fear that they're going to run him into the ground by playing him too many snaps and not giving him enough help. That combination of playing way too many snaps and constantly being the guy that other teams are targeting, that's a lot. That can wear a guy down. They've invested a lot in Kenny. Get him some help. D-line, to me, is the position they absolutely need to address next. Absolutely. So I think D-line. And then at this point, I don't think you're going to get any tackle that's going to be able to step in and play right away. There are a couple of guys I like, and I'll talk about them in a minute here, that I think are interesting developmental prospects. But as of now, yeah, you're probably going to have to roll with Runyon at right tackle until Bakhtiari comes back, and then you can move Turner over there, and then you're okay. But they still need to get a developmental guy. Yeah, absolutely. So those are the next two spots. How much talent's left? I think there's a little bit. Again, I'll talk about that in a second here. Are our picks tonight enough to smooth relations with Rodgers even a little? Probably not. I talked about this last night on the show. Damn it, I wasn't going to do a lot of Aaron Rodgers stuff. I think his mind is made up. I do. You know, Rodgers, again, is not like Favre. Favre didn't know what he was going to say 5 minutes before he fucking said it. For Rodgers to have his agent leak that news yesterday on day one of the draft, there was a meaning behind that. Like, this dude has been thinking about this for at least a year. And again, like I said last night, everything with Rodgers is very meticulous and thought out and controlled. He's not like Favre. He's the anti-Favre in that sense, in a lot of senses, but especially in that sense. for him to say this and have it come out yesterday, to me, was like the culmination of him thinking about it for a year. And to get to where he got to, I think, was Rodgers basically saying, like, I've 100% made my mind up. There's nothing else you can do to sway me. Like, I'm out. I'm out. Like, he wanted an extension. They wouldn't do it. Then they tried to offer him one. He said no. So, money is not the answer. I mean, even Schefter, I think, said on ESPN this afternoon, the Packers don't really know what to do. Because I don't think there's anything they can do. I think Rodgers has decided it's over. It's done. And now it becomes trading him. Do I think, for to answer your question, do I think these picks tonight are, no, probably not. No, I mean, I think, you know, Myers is a good, is an interesting prospect, although not the guy I would have taken out. And Rodgers, although I will say, I think Rodgers would love throwing to Amari Rodgers. Yeah, I think he would quickly become a favorite of Aaron Rodgers. But I don't think that those picks are enough. No. I think his mind is made up, you know? I think it was funny to see people going, like, because apparently if he retires, he's got to give back $11.5 million of the signing bonus this year and then $11.5 million next year. Signing bonus, whatever. He's got to give it's $23 million over 2 years. And people are like, well, he's not going to pay. He's not going to give up $23 million. Do you guys know how wealthy he is? He bought a fucking house with Danica that was like $30 million or something. $20 million, $30 million. I believe, and I'd have to double check this, so don't quote me through and through on this, but I believe he paid, was it $20 million to buy a stake of the Milwaukee Bucks? $10 million, $20 million to buy stake of a team that their value keeps going up? Rodgers probably could just sell his stake in the Bucks and take that money and hand it to the Packers and go, great, there's the $23 million. People are like, he's not going to do that. This isn't us, like, saving coupons to go to the grocery store. You guys, this is Aaron Rodgers. He's wealthy beyond any comprehension, any, you know. It's insane how wealthy he is. You can't even comprehend it. $23 million is nothing to him. It's about principle. What does Big Worman say on Friday? It's the principalities. There's principalities. Like, he'll give the money back. I really, truly believe he's never going to play in Green Bay again. And I'm just going to keep saying this, nip it in the bud now. And just, I realize the cap thing, can't do it right now. It'll probably be after June 1st, will be my guess. Yeah. Because I think after June 1st, it's something like $22 million. $22 million cap hit this year and like 17, 16 or 17 next year. My guess is after June 1st, he'll get traded. Probably to the Denver Broncos. Yeah. That would be my guess. I just wanted to say that because I hadn't talked about it. Like, so many people on Twitter were just like, it feels like people are just like in denial about it. It's like, guys, this is over. He's probably, I can't imagine a scenario where his feelings are everything is smoothed over and he comes back. That just is incomprehensible to me at this point. Yeah. So I just wanted to say, I wasn't going to do that. Damn it, I wasn't going to talk about Rodgers. Anyways, yeah, I don't think the picks tonight were enough. And if the worst happens and Rodgers retires, what is your prediction of the season with Love under center? Can I, and do you want to talk about the Rodgers retiring thing? That's general manager malpractice. That's a fireable offense to me if Gutekunst doesn't trade him. That is cutting off your nose to spite your face. Saying, we're not trading you, and if you want to retire, retire. That is, I can't even believe it. That you would turn down a potential franchise-altering haul of picks just to prove a point. No, 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 you don't do that. You don't do that if you're Brian Gutekunst. If Denver comes in and says, we'll give you a 1-2 next year in 2022, and a 1-2 in 2023, and like a 2 in 2024, you take that deal. You take it. Or maybe you even do the NBA thing, where you stretch the picks out. So you know, because if you think like Rod, so I can explain this quick. This happens in the NBA a lot, where picks get traded out like 5, 6, 7, 8 years down the road. So teams can go like, well, you're not going to have this player anymore after a certain point. And then right at the time you're bad, that's when we're going to come in and get those picks. That's when it's time to give us the picks. I wouldn't even be against the Packers doing something like that, although I don't know if that line of thinking is going to work in the NFL. because GMs are so paranoid about losing their jobs. But again, I'm off track. But again, yeah, if they said 2022, 1-2, 2023, 1-2, and like a 2 or a 3 in 2024, you have to take that. You have to take that. You cannot be prideful to the point where you just let him retire. Think about Ted. Ted did not want to trade Brett Favre. Absolutely did not want to trade Brett Favre. Then when he finally realized he had to, he sent him to the New York Jets for a pick that ended up being a third rounder. I think it was a 4 that turned into a 3 based on certain playing time metrics that Favre hit. It turned into a third rounder. And what did he do with that third rounder? Do you remember this? In the 2009 draft, he took that third rounder, packaged it with a 2, and sent it to the New England Patriots. And he drafted a player named Clay Matthews. Boom. Super Bowl. They don't win a Super Bowl without Clay Matthews. They don't even get to a Super Bowl without Clay Matthews. So even though Ted didn't want to do it, he didn't let his pride get in the way. He made the move, took the picks. Packers turned into a Super Bowl champion because of it. So this, like, Rodgers retiring thing, I'm sorry, Gutekunst can't let that happen. He can't. At some point, he has to just, even if he doesn't want to, he has to give in and trade him. Now, work the angles to get the biggest package possible. Don't give him away. But, yeah, don't let your pride get in the way. Come on. And so you said, what? What is my prediction of the season with Love under center? Well, that's a tough one. You know, I mean, they probably wouldn't be very good. No, there's a lot. But the thing is, there's a lot of talent on the team still. If Devontae sticks around for even one more year, Jonesy, the offensive line is still pretty good. Kenny, all the talent on defense. I think you could probably, what's a 17-game season now, right? I would think you could probably go 6-11 with Jordan Love. That sounds about right. 6-11 or 7-10. I could see that. Yeah. This is a really talented football team. I mean, you know, a lot of it was Rodgers, but there's enough talent. I think you could squeeze out 6 or 7 wins. Maybe I'm being overly optimistic, but that's what I think. Okay. So thank you to Justin and Kyle for sending along those questions. I know it's late as hell on a Friday night. I do appreciate it. Let's talk about day 3 real quick. The Packers have 6 picks left in the draft, down from 7 now after the trade with Tennessee. They have 1 4th rounder, 2 5s, 2 6s, and a 7. So there's, and I'll say now, this is part of, there's some players left that I still like. Kyle mentioned D-line and offensive tackle. Let's talk about the D-line, the position I think they have to address. I can't even believe Davion Nixon from Iowa is still on the board. That is a shocker to me. I thought Green Bay may have to trade up in round 2 if they wanted to get him. I can't believe he's still there. Of course, Tyler Shelvin, the 340-pound apple of my eye from LSU. Nose tackle, would love to get him in round 4. And then Bobby Brown from Texas A&M. Think he'd be good too. Those are 3 options I like along the D-line for the Packers. Brevin Jordan from the U at tight end, if the Packers do want to get another pass catcher. Still like Jordan quite a bit. They had a virtual pre-draft visit with him, so he's a potential option. And there's a couple of tackles left I like. James Hudson from Cincinnati, and then Dante Smith from East Carolina. Now, Smith is a real, he's a developmental guy, but he's really, really an interesting prospect. So there's, you know, what, 3, 4? There's 6 names left, guys I really like. I suspect at some point they're going to try to snag another edge rusher, another running back. Definitely could see those things happening. Maybe add another corner or a wide receiver. Could see that for sure, too. And I'll tell you one thing I think. I could easily see Goot using one of those 2 5s, package that with a 4 to move up in round 4. I think that's going to happen. I'll even predict that. He's going to take one of those 2 5s, package it with 142, and he's going to move up. I feel like that's happening, yeah. Because they don't need 6 more players. They don't. Spare me all the stuff about the cap crunch that's coming in a year from now. They don't need 6 players on this team. They don't. We only have 53 spots in the practice squad. So, yeah, that about wraps up this episode of Lem's Talking Pack. Now, I won't be back tomorrow night. No, day 3... Man, day 3 is far too long. Day 3 goes like 6 or 7 hours. It's too much to watch that and then do a podcast after. Like, my mind is just mush by the end of day 3. I actually tried doing one last year and was like, oh, this sucks. And then I came back the next day on Sunday and did it, and it turned out way better. And that's the one I ended up that you heard. So I'm going to go with that same format this year and do my day 3/draft wrap-up as a whole. Draft as a whole wrap-up on Sunday. So that's going to be available either Sunday night or more likely Monday morning. So keep an eye out for that. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemp's Talkin' Pack. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yes, even you. Stay safe out there in this crazy world. And remember, always and forever, go Pack. Go.